Get
creepy.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are the Extra Sisters. So sit back, relax, and let's get creepy.
Welcome to season 2, episode 1 of the Extra Sisters.
We're back!
We're back, baby! Hopefully. Right. We'll see. That's the plan. We'll give you a quick little update on our lives. So if you don't give a shit about that, skip ahead and then you'll get the movie review for The Exorcist Believer. But I feel like our community is tight-knit enough where, you know, just kind of talk about what's going on and then you guys can tell us what's going on with you because we still have all the same socials and email and everything. So big thing for you, you have a human child now.
I have a baby. So last you guys heard, I was pregnant still, and we ended up taking some time off because I didn't realize how hard that was going to be. I mean, Amanda had her own things, which she will talk about as well, that were really difficult, but I didn't realize, and I didn't want to be one of those parents that was like, I can't do my own thing. But now I understand on the other side just like how much kids need you every possible second. I thought it was, you know, yeah, kids need you a lot. No, they really do need you every single second. I don't know how women do it that go into the workplace and stuff like that. You're amazing. You're heroes to me because being a stay-at-home mom is really hard. She needs me all the time. But she's almost 2 now, so she's starting to get some independence, and I'm ready to start going back to horror and start watching more stuff, hopefully.
Yeah, me too. I haven't really watched anything since we stopped podcasting. I think I just needed not even a break from horror, but I think you, especially with our schedule, it was so rigorous. Mm-hmm. And we put out so much content with, like, in hindsight, we wanted to be consistent and keep pushing and pushing because, you know, we wanted to, you know, monetize it a little bit more than we did. But I think that that led to some burnout,
for sure.
You know, and we both had like things going on. And so really all I've seen is this, The Exorcist Believer. We went and saw Nope together.
We did do that.
It just feels like a lifetime ago.
We saw Evil Dead Rise. Is that the new one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. We watched that at your house. And honestly, since then, I'm trying to think of... Oh, yeah. That was... Yeah. Not as enthused about that as everyone else was, but I get it, I guess. But y'all just didn't watch fucking It Follows, I guess.
Right,
I don't know.
Exactly.
But
you had your own crazy new things going on too.
Yeah, so I was really stressed out at work, and you know, especially I talked about like wanting to write a book and things like that, and so I actually did start that process, and it went pretty well. I was actually writing I thought I was going to write a fiction, and then I did a nonfiction, or it's not done yet. But then I decided that I was just not happy at my job. I was in healthcare management, and you had seen me start that job, mm-hmm. and already knew years and years ago that I struggled with it. Mm-hmm. But I really liked my boss and my team, and I just kept trying to make it work and like it'll get better or whatever. And I just think it's not conducive with my personality type.
Yeah, I mean, having to be the hard boss type person all the time.
Yeah. And like it got to a point too post COVID where it was just, I literally bent over backwards for my team, mm-hmm. and it was just never enough. And I just take things really personally because I personalize it. I pour my heart into it. And so it was just constant complaining from patients and from staff. And eventually it just wore me down so much that like it was ruining my relationships and, mm-hmm. you know, my marriage, we were okay, but like I had nothing. I was just an empty vessel, and you can't give when you're just totally empty. And so my husband and I had a long talk, and my therapist helped me get there too. And I decided to go back to school, and I will finish my associates in a couple months and then start university in August. And I'm going to try to go to grad school to be a therapist. So I'm back in school and I'm working part time, and I quit my job, and all this new stuff that's like I just never thought I would have that in my life again. I just had us, you know, resigned to giving that up and trying to be okay with that. But we are privileged with my husband being able to I still have to work. I still work part-time at the same place, but just not in management. And you know, I don't bring in nearly as much. Yep. And now we have 2 roommates, and
I think so. Gosh dang,
so
expensive.
That helps. It is, yeah. But I was really lucky to be able to go back to school at all. And so mm-hmm. we'll see how it goes at university. I'm actually really, like, I have midterm coming up, and I had a nightmare about it last night.
Geez.
So I'm in classes that are hard for me. I'm in biology specifically, and algebra are really difficult for me. And those are the two that I'm taking more than that, but I'm taking those two classes right mm-hmm. now. And they're, luckily I have my husband who's very good at math, but they're, I'm just ready to get into my junior, senior year stuff because that's all just right. psychology.
Yeah.
So, and that's easy for me, luckily. So, but I did take a film class and I made a horror short film.
Yes, and you guys have to see it. It's amazing.
Thank you. You know, it was, I definitely, I've always had respect for filmmakers. Obviously, doing this podcast, you learn a lot of things. You listen to a lot of people and you get really in tune to what you're watching. But learning about it in like a textbook academic way and then having to do it was incredibly intimidating. We filmed, I think, about 7.5 hours for a 3-minute short film.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. And like there were still things where like there's specifically one scene that I'm so upset didn't come together like I wanted. I think if you were watching, it happens so fast you don't really think about it. But when I watch it, I'm like, oh, that ruined the whole fucking film.
Oh, now I want to know.
But well, there's a, it's a scene, it's a short film about a doctor's office. It's called White Coat Syndrome. And you know, that anxiety that everybody has about going to the doctor. But then it turns out the doctor is actually a demon. So, but there's a scene that I missed a jump cut. Like it jump cuts and it doesn't make sense because I missed a continuity. Because, you know, you take, there are so many takes.
For
and
sure.
like I understood that, but also, you know, I'm a rookie. I'm just, my friends are the actors. Actually, a doctor I work with is the actual doctor that turns into the demon. Like none of us are fucking professionals. And we kept like, the lighting was really hard. And in that specific scene, I remember we had tried to cover up one of the lights with a piece of paper. And while we were filming it, it fell and I had to cut. And then I didn't resume the scene where it needed to, because you just forget or like, it's not exactly right. Because it's just fucking me in a camera.
Right.
So otherwise, though, I really was happy with how it came out. And it's on YouTube. And it actually got like 15,000 views on YouTube just organically, which was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
So I will post it on our Instagram if y'all want to see it. But it is called White Coat Syndrome. And I don't, my, y'all know hopefully my name. It's Amanda Lee, L-E-E. And if you just put that plus my name, I think it'll come up. But anyways, so that's me. Oh, and now I have 3 different therapists. So I'm really like grinding.
I mean, you're working on yourself. Like, that's awesome. That's hard to do.
I just got an EMDR Ooh, therapist and I start that next week. So
I loved EMDR. Yeah, that
we'll
really helped
how
me
that
a lot.
Goes. I'm excited. I'm doing EMDR and then I'm processing it with my regular therapist. And then I also have group therapy every week. So, but it's been good. And now that I'm not working, I have time to do all of these things, which has been good.
For sure. Time to work on yourself.
Exactly. So I'll keep y'all updated with the journey along the way. But as of right now, I just want to get back into horror because it's been a long time. And I think horror just, it got really predictable and I kept looking mm-hmm. for something different. And I just think that that was a me problem.
Yeah.
Because
we saw
even
so
in
much.
Writing. Yeah, exactly. And even in like trying to write something original, it's like,
everything's
oh, well,
done.
I'm using all of these same kind of stereotypes, but that's how you do it, you know? So I do know that there will be different things and there are different things,
right.
but now Ooh. I'm just kind of wanting to be entertained.
Right. I get you. And I know we have already gotten off your short film, but I do need to brag about my bestie right here for a second. The makeup effects in her short film are amazing. You
think
that is where you need to be. You need to be in Hollywood doing makeup effects.
Thank you. I did get a special effects makeup kit and learned how to do wounds and stuff. And it was really funny when we were filming, I did an upside down cross on the doctor and added silicone and it just kept like flopping Aww. Off. And I think that in the shot, you can kind of see it's just
oh, no.
like falling off. But it was, we were really hot mm-hmm. and sweaty. And so I had these black contacts that completely covered her eye, not just her iris, but they're called sclera contacts where they go from literally limbus to limbus in the eye. And she was in so much pain.
Oh, really?
I felt
oh.
so bad. They were so incredibly painful for her that we kept having. Luckily, we were, it's set in an eye doctor's office about right. an eye doctor's appointment. So I was able to numb her eyes, but you can't do that very much. And it only lasts like 15 minutes. So in between takes, she would just be standing there with her eyes closed. And I felt so Aww. Bad. So I was just trying to rush through it so she could take the fucking contacts out. And so the cross kept falling off. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to move it so fast that hopefully you can't see it. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. That was probably the most fun I had, was like And it was like right around when Spirit was still open, but also about to close. So I got to do I got a lot of the special effects stuff on clearance. Mm-hmm. So it was good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I would definitely do it again, but cautiously.
I loved it. I thought it was super creepy and very well done.
Thank you. So let's talk about, we didn't actually see this film together. We watched it separately.
Yeah, we basically have to now with your schedule of school and work and me being a mom. I had to watch this in like two different parts during naps. It was terrible.
Well, and in the fashion of getting back into podcasting, we actually recorded this probably a month ago and lost the recording.
Yeah, which was just great. Like, we were on point. We were funny. And who knows how this one will go. Hopefully good.
It was like, welcome back. Fuck you. Immediately.
Yes, exactly. Like, okay, we're great. Like, this isn't going to happen. But we're pushing through. It's going to happen.
So it has been a while
since
we watched it, to be honest. But I do think that that also like gives time to marinate on it a little bit. And I gotta tell you, after marinating on it a little bit, it didn't get any better. So, but we thought it was still fitting to come back because our very first movie we reviewed was The Exorcist. We are the Exorcist sisters, and this is The Exorcist Believer, which is, I don't even know, it's not really a, it is really a sequel, like that cuts out the second and third Exorcist installments. It's not even a reboot because it continues on with, well, is it Pazuzu? Like, I don't
think it is.
I think that wasn't super clear. But then also Ellen Burstyn is in it, and it is, you know, it does bring Reagan into it.
Honestly, none of this film is super clear. Like, there's so many moving pieces, but then none of them ever come to anything. And all of the people are so very, very shallow. I don't care about any of them. So it's like you're sitting there the whole time going, what does this have to do with this, with this, with this? And it doesn't have to do with anything.
Yeah, and I watched this with, y'all have heard me talk about my friend Ryan before because we actually met through podcasting. Well, fun fact, he's my roommate now. So we actually watched this together. And I got to tell you, I love that man very much, but he is the most pretentious horror film person that I know. Like, he enjoys nothing aside from The Lighthouse. And so I knew he probably wasn't going to like this, but we were genuinely both laughing. And y'all know how I am about possession movies. They can be god awful and they still irk me, but this one just really didn't, and that was really unfortunate because I thought in the trailers that the makeup did look creepy, but again, they did that kind of typical Blumhouse horror thing where they put all of it in the trailer and there wasn't really anything new for me to look at. Well, so
even what they put in the trailer or what they put in the movie, it never went all the way with anything. Like, there's a point where we lose track of this girl. She's already been possessed. She goes to church. She's in the church and she wanders off. And you could have something very scary happen there. But instead, all we see is her coming out down the aisle, which is in the trailer, with blood all over her. That's it. You don't see what may have happened. Essentially, you're led to believe she just broke a bunch of glasses in a room. And you don't see her long enough to be scared. And that's the whole film. Every single time there is a scene where you could make that scare, it's gone. Even jump scares in this like are really lame. There aren't any.
Yeah, I do think that, and I really respect Jason Blumhouse for what he's done and the studio he's created, and he has done a lot of really good things and produced a lot of really good stuff. But I do think this is why Jordan Peele, for example, is so successful, because he's outside of this established realm. And I think we just need new eyes on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Blumhouse sees these big properties like Halloween and The Exorcist, and they just want to touch them. They're just like, ooh, it's mine now. I have it. It's all mine. You know, just like rich people. No, leave it alone.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those purists saying you couldn't ever do anything better than The Exorcist, but it is pretty damn good. So you got to try a hell of a lot harder.
That, and I almost think that it's hard because you don't want to sound, and I'm so sorry, I know we have some of y'all out there, but like that kind of boomer mentality of like, well, back in my day, it was better, you know, like,
right.
And that's not necessarily the case. It's just, there are certain things that need not be bastardized, and
exactly,
I think that Exorcist, if anything, it's The Exorcist, in my opinion. I could see Halloween being done over and over and over. I didn't think it was necessary. Exactly. It's a, like, look at Jason, for example. He's been to space. Like, you know, we accept that as the slasher kind of culture. Like, you know, even John Carpenter did a couple of them.
It's like redoing Psycho, which I know they did, and it's terrible. That's why you don't do it.
Isn't Vince Vaughn in it?
Yes.
I've never seen it, but I, when I saw the cast years ago, I was like, no fucking way.
Right.
And then I never watched it.
It's terrible. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Unless you have an actual really good idea that you can follow through. And this, they didn't. Maybe they had a great idea, but they completely failed on the follow through. And I think just based on my part behind the scenes, I think a lot of that is because of editing. This was edited so terribly. There is a scene where he is knocking on a door. The main character is knocking on the door of this house. All the lights are out. He sees somebody moving a window, and he's with Ellen Bernstein, and they're like, well, let's bust in, basically. And all of a sudden, they're just walking through the house. Like, that's it. There's no actual breaking of the door. There's nothing. It's edited so terribly all the way through.
Yeah, and I think, too, what irked me the most about this is I think that they could have had a captivating storyline. They had fucking Chris McNeil back.
They did.
They even had Linda Blair back, which was surprising to everybody because she initially came out and said that she was not part of it. She wasn't even asked. And eventually they had, I guess, corrected that at some point. I didn't finish reading the article because I didn't really care, but they had Linda Blair. They had Ellen Bernstein, they had them, but and they could have done so much more.
They had way too many people in this film. Like, they threw Ellen Bernstein, Linda Blair in it, and we didn't need them, honestly. There was no reason to have her in this film. But by the time we get her in this movie, all of a sudden she's out again because she's been attacked by one of the possessed kids. Like, that's
it. She gets her eyes gouged out.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Exactly.
She survived an entire 2.5 hour movie in the 70s. And then she's in this one for, like, what? 30 minutes?
Literally, he meets her, and then they go to break into this house. Like I said, the scene that doesn't really exist. And in that house, that's when she gets her eyes gouged out. Like, that's it. That's the whole thing with her. That was pointless. And it's kind of upsetting.
I thought she was going to be the Father Marin in the film. And I thought that was a good, it could have been a good plot point. I don't think that, and I know she's 90. I get that. So maybe that was a little bit taxing. And she wanted to make a cameo. She wanted to relive, you know, The Exorcist. Well, I don't know why she would, because it was terrible. But, like, you know, or maybe she just wanted to get paid. And that's a totally fair reason to want to do that. But I just, it was so disappointing because as a fan, I understand it's fan service, but you get excited to see this character back and you get fucking hyped. And then she just gets her eyes gouged out the minute she lays eyes on this possessed kid. And that's that. And then she eventually sees Reagan at the end for like 2 seconds and they have a reunion because they've been, you know, not in contact for all these years. And, like, that's that. And that's all you ever see of them. And the rest is about these two girls and their parents and this one Catholic priest and this other, like, Protestant dude. And, like, it's just kind of chaotic.
I don't know. I don't remember what she is.
Some sort of spiritual, like, alternative kind of.
Way too many people in this. Way too many people. Mm-hmm. It drives me literally crazy. Like, the ending is so, you keep thinking that it's going to end, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, the pastor has to do something. Oh, wait, the Catholic priest has to do something. Oh, now he's dead, so we have to move on to this person. It's just way too freaking much.
Yeah, and it's not enough time to care about any particular character. Mm-hmm. And now I will say that the main family, the dad and his daughter, I don't remember name. This is how unmemorable it is. I don't remember their names. But then there was the other family with the little white girl and her parents. And I couldn't have cared less about her.
Literally, yeah.
And I wanted to care about the other characters because they were the only thing that I felt like, that, you know, the acting was good. And she could have been a character that you connected with. But like you said, there's too many moving parts and you just don't care about any of it. And then even the exorcism itself, it's not, it just falls completely flat.
Yeah, you know? It's terrible because you know, something may be happening, but then we got to end it and switch to yet another pastor or priest or, I'm sorry, I'm going to say voodoo. I don't think that's what she is, but I forget what she is. It's,
yeah,
it's way too much. And the white girl and her family, they feel literally like they were only added because she looked like Reagan. That was it.
Yeah, and that was unnecessary. And, like, here's the thing, too. I do my annual watch of The Exorcist, right, because I can really only handle it once a year. I feel like I'm getting better, but it still, like, gets me because, you know, it's like when you're a little kid. It's the first thing you see when that actually genuinely right. terrifies you, and it just, like, sticks with you. And so I was watching it with a friend, and she literally fell asleep while we were watching The Exorcist, which I cannot imagine. But I do understand that movie is a slow burn. It is right. slow. But I think that's what makes it so successful, because it just builds the relationship mm-hmm. between the demon and the family and Reagan and these priests. And it sows the doubt. Mm-hmm. And you see her getting worse and worse and worse. And with this, it's like they're missing. And then they're back. And for like 10 minutes, they're acting weird. And then we are in a full exorcism, and it just doesn't yeah. give you enough time for that to be effective. And so I think with The Exorcist, even though it's a slow burn, it has to be
mm-hmm.
and that's what made it effective for me, and I think for a lot of people. That's why people were puking in the theater in 1973 or whatever. Right,
exactly. Like it makes you, it sucks you in by being slow paced like that, because at the end you're seeing this girl twisting her head around and floating off the bed and Jesus Christ, what the hell.
And like I'm looking at an article, because I was looking for where like Linda Blair said she wasn't involved or wasn't asked to be involved or whatever, and it's just a People article, but I'm looking at Reagan in 1970. Oh my God, it's just she's just so horrifying for me to look at. And then I look at the picture they have of these two girls in The Exorcist Believer, and it is just not nearly as effective. And I'm like, I know that practical effects tended to, I think, look a little bit more real. Well, in some cases, sometimes they looked a little bit campy. But what did they do so much better in 1973 that we can't do today? Nothing, except for maybe OSHA. You know, like maybe they can't break somebody's back on set. But like, why can't right. we make things that look and feel like that anymore?
Right.
And I just don't. This was just not at all effective as far as the terror aspect of it.
Not at all. They didn't allow any of the terror to happen. Every single time you turn around, there's a scene where you think you're going to see, you know, this version of Pazuzu or something like that. And they always cut it short every freaking time. The Exorcist is supposed to be one of the scariest films ever. And they don't ever allow you to be scared in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. very whiplashy for sure. Very whiplashy. Even I think The Conjuring is scarier. Like the way that the mom in The Conjuring looked mm-hmm. was 10 times fucking scarier than these girls. And this is supposed to be in The Exorcist, the OG Exorcist franchise. Now, it's not as bad as The Exorcist 2. I'll give it that. But that bar is on the fucking Exorcist ground. The Exorcist
3 is better.
100% The Exorcist 3 is better. Absolutely. And so this was just, I don't know if they got, because this was supposed to be a 3-film installment, yeah, wasn't it?
The second one is already in development or something. Yeah. Exorcist Deceiver is in development. Oh, it sure is.
I was Googling it too. It's confirmed. It was confirmed July 2023, so it'll come out probably late this year, early next year. But I don't know how. I mean, I guess, so if you're looking at just the box office numbers, it did make a profit. They spent $30 million and they made $137 million. So yeah,
that's why
they didn't do poorly. But yeah, and I know I usually save this for like right at the end, but when I'm looking at the reviews, and I know Rotten Tomatoes, it can be political, I get that, but 22% from the critics, get this though, 59% from the audience. And that's really high, I think.
I don't know.
Doesn't that seem high to you?
Yeah. I feel like that right there is just a point to other problems, which I know isn't everything in our society right now, but it just points to that there's no other good horror going on that people are like, ooh, yay, this is as good as it gets.
Or maybe I think, too, we're kind of in that millennial you can call it a sweet spot or a bitter spot, I guess, where it's like, we grew up with these movies from the 70s and 80s, and some of them, like The Exorcist, were so groundbreaking that they were for us too. And then you have this younger generation, like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and they're not watching. Like I said, my friend who's a little bit younger, she fell asleep during The Exorcist, and I can't imagine that. But, you know, our society has changed so much. It's instant mm-hmm. gratification. People are making horror shorts on TikTok, so a minute or less, that are actually really effectively scary. And I think that slow burns just aren't doing it anymore, and people don't have the attention span for that, which I totally understand. But it's hard to find that sweet spot of what's actually scary, because it's so subjective, and there will never be anything again that's having people pass out and throw up in movie theaters. We're just not there anymore. The real world is scarier.
For sure. 1,000%.
Than any of this. And it didn't. Even if it was in the 70s, it wasn't as widely broadcast in the palm of our hand. And I know that's getting a little philosophical, but I just think that that has really worked against horror, and that, man, I can turn on the news and it's scarier than anything you can show me. Or I can get on TikTok and see all of these 1 minute videos that are instantly, like, you know, supplying me dopamine. So a movie is just not,
for sure.
It almost has to be chaotic, I guess.
I'm sure it's also, you know, in the 70s, you didn't have commercials showing this stuff, so you had word of mouth. You had the dude who went there and passed out telling you about it. I still remember the reason that The Grudge is so terrifying to me is I didn't see it first. My mother came home and basically scene by scene told me about it. So my imagination was going, and it was fucking terrifying. Yeah. And then I went to see it in theaters, and I couldn't watch it because I was so scared about what was in my brain showing up on the TV screen. So I'm sure that also had a lot to do with the hype of The Exorcist. Now, was it worth it? For sure, it is definitely worth that hype. But you don't have any of that hype nowadays to help out movies like this. Not that it needs it or could use it.
Like, there's one coming out called Immaculate. I don't know if you've seen previews or ads for that, but like, I was on TikTok the other day and it was somebody saying like, oh my God, this is the scariest movie. And I got excited, and then I look and it's sponsored.
Of course it is.
And
everything.
So it's also really
fucking everything.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell, like, what is it. And I know there are those out there like Possessed by Horror and Chris Tuckman and, like, you know, that are genuine, but it's hard to know when the hype is just people being paid. And it's the same thing on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, some of these reviews are paid for, but it's hard to know what the actual opinion is. And then when you go see it yourself, I think sometimes it's like, do I really like this, or was I just told I should like this? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, Talk to Me.
Oh yeah.
I saw Talk to Me, and I went with my friend Ryan, and I felt pretty okay about it. And he was like, I fucking hated that. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should hate it too. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when you have all these opinions and you don't know what's genuine, what's paid for. Not that he's sponsored, but you know what I mean? Like, So I don't know, having a 59% audience score maybe just tells me that a different generation really liked it than me, you know?
Yeah, fair. I don't
know. Yeah. So I think that while I could see how it would be entertaining, it just wasn't for me. I think my expectations were too high for it to meet, and maybe I put it on an unfair grading curve, you know, than maybe it should have been. But that being said, I'm excited for watching more movies now and seeing what is going to be out there. Like, this film Immaculate that's coming up, I've heard pretty good things about. I know that there's a lot of sequels and reboots though, and I am getting a little burned out on those, just a little
for sure. But we are getting movies this year that I'm very interested in, one from M. Night Shyamalan's daughter and one from Robin Williams' daughter Zelda.
I think that one is out.
Really?
Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, yes, I'm pretty sure it came out in February. Come out. I haven't seen it yet, but I think that's really cool. We're getting some more women in here.
Yes. And I think that'll help too, you know?
Definitely.
Because a lot of these movies that I have been hating on over the past like couple years, I've noticed a trend that they're by the same people in the same studios. Yep. And like, David Gordon Green did this, and he did the Halloween reboot. Yep. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not like talking mad shit on him. I liked Halloween 2018. It was just kind of fell apart after that. But so maybe getting some new blood in there, even if they're Nepo babies,
you know, like, I think that'll really help. At least they have some sort of foot in, I guess, to get more women
yeah.
in there. Because we saw
exactly.
when we had, you know, Black Lives Matter and a lot more Black directors and actors coming into horror, it really changed the genre for the
yeah,
better.
More representation
exactly.
and better
we
you
could
know,
do that with
more
women
minds
too.
And perspectives. Yeah. Like, let's bring in some new life experience mm-hmm. that's not a straight white man.
Right, exactly.
And see where we go from here. And so I'm excited to see what this year has, even though, like, when I looked at the 22 movies, it's not just 22 movies, but when I looked at a list of, like, 21, 22 movies, 14 of them were reboots or sequels. But, you know, like, The Omen. Have you seen that?
I saw that.
We were getting a new Omen installment.
I saw that we were getting it, and I was very – I love The Omen, if you guys remember that, so I'm very excited. But, you know, yeah. kind of, because – I haven't seen it in a long time, but I feel like the one with Julia Stiles was not great. And that was in 06, I think 06.
Well, this one I think is a prequel, I want to say, but it is by a woman. So
yes.
let's see. I'm pretty sure it's a woman director. And so I would see it. I'm interested in seeing it. There are a couple coming out that I'm like, okay. Let's see where this goes. And there's one coming mm-hmm. out called Tarot, which looks kind of campy and cheesy, but like one of those Ouija movies. But hey, like I'm not going to judge, you know, a movie based on preconceived notions. We're going to let that shit go. The Strangers Chapter 1.
Right, exactly.
A Quiet Place Day 1. A lot of prequels looking like this year, which is
yeah.
fine, but we'll see how that goes. I think the next one, I think I am going to go see Immaculate. I think I do really want to go see that one in theaters. It's been a long time since I've gone to a movie. So, but
yeah.
we don't know exactly what our schedule's going to look like. And it's definitely not going to be anything like it was, you know,
definitely
when
not.
We stopped. Well, did we stop in 2021?
Did we? Was that long ago? No. Yeah? No.
It might have been.
No, because we didn't stop till, yeah. Shit.
But I announced the birth of your child, and that was the last post I had, and before that it was yeah it was January 2022, so it was like barely January. Yeah, so we did Scream and Scream 22 and then Apostle, and then yeah, that was that. So anyways, we don't know what our schedule is going to look like, but it may be every couple weeks, it may be every month. It just kind of depends on, you know, she's a mom, I'm a student, and I still work, and you know, I'm going through all this shit with therapy and stuff. So I think it'll kind of be, we'll just kind of figure out what works for us. And so I don't want to commit to an upload schedule because I don't
sure.
want to disappoint anyone.
Yeah.
But I do think that we are going to start posting fairly regularly, even if it's just every couple weeks. And I think that that's good for us, so we don't have to put that pressure on ourselves and we can still enjoy
Definitely, because that was part of it, is horror was starting to lose its fun. And I think, you know, we gave it a couple years. Now it can be fun again, hopefully.
Yeah, it was like, well, I have to fucking watch 4 movies tonight, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything else.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
And then I just wouldn't be paying attention because, you know, so I think that, you know, we're definitely doing it this time around our lives instead of the other way around, because we just wanted to be, we wanted to cultivate a community. We also wanted to be successful, and it's really hard in a horror space when it's so saturated to kind of set yourself apart. And I'm not dissing on us at all, because we're in the 6 digits on our streaming numbers, which is incredible. But you know, it was just like, okay, well, if this isn't going to turn into like my job, mm-hmm. I need to take a step back and kind of like
right
prioritize things a little differently.
Right. But at the same time, going back to why we originally did this podcast, was we just like talking about horror to each other. So let's
exactly.
get back to that.
And it was yeah, we never like said, okay, if we don't make money by this time, we're not doing it, because like that wasn't it. But then we started getting regulars and people that emailed us. And so it's like, okay, let's put out more.
Right.
Let's put out a Patreon. Let's do this series, that series. And so now it's just going to be like whatever we feel like seeing. And still you can, you know, if there's something that comes out that we miss, because
yeah.
I'm kind of disconnected.
Same.
Like, feel free to email. Like, if it's like, oh, this came out while y'all weren't recording, you should do it. Like, I'm down. I'm down to go back into the
yeah.
vault for a year or two ago.
Hey, I think
because I missed a lot.
Exactly. I think this might be more of a, hey, you know, I saw this, or I really wanted to see this with you. Let's do it. Let's do this episode real quick. And one of them
exactly.
being, I don't think you saw the most recent Scream, right?
I have not.
Ooh, no. I'm gonna make you watch it. Like, that's gonna be
okay,
on my.
I can do that. There were a couple, like a Skinamarink, for example.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but
I have heard a lot of good stuff about it, and I needed to watch it. I did not see Prey. Heard that was really good. I didn't see Barbarian. I didn't see X. Like, lots of shit. So I need to get on my game. And also, just like real quick, I want to know, because you are so opinionated, which I love about you. How do you feel about them rebooting The Crow?
I love Skarsgård. He's awesome.
Same. Yes.
Don't touch it. I mean, it is so iconic. And he died. Let's just leave
Someone
it.
Died for it.
Died. Yeah. For that movie. Leave it alone. And then the fact that, love Skarsgård. Not saying anything against him. I've seen the shots of how he looks, and it looks terrible compared to the original.
Brandon Lee. Yeah, I was really excited when I heard that it was Skarsgård doing it. I do really like The Crow. I did not grow up watching it. I watched it actually for the first time for the podcast, and I really loved it. I just absolutely fell in love with it. However, you know, but I'm a huge Skarsgård bitch. Like, I love that man. I have his Pennywise taken up, like, what, 40% of my leg, okay? And I will die on that hill. And I don't think it's Skarsgård. Obviously, that's the problem. It's just like, you gotta have to be very careful, because not only is this iconic, it's not like The Exorcist. Well, people did die for The Exorcist, first of all, but not this, you know, the Crow fucking died,
like,
you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Different things. I'm sorry. Skarsgård's great. I don't think just because he's weird in all these other films that he was the right choice. Maybe somebody, like, throw Evan Peters in there and I might be like, hell yeah. I don't know.
Well, and I feel like, so how old is Bill Skarsgård? And he's in great shape. He looks great. Like, we love Bill Skarsgård. I'm a huge stan. He is, he was born in 1990. I thought he was older than that. I don't know. Never mind. He just looks older than what I picture. But maybe it's just because all his makeup and all his fucking muscles, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the clown. I don't know. But it's just, I feel like that role should have been Brandon Lee's. And it's kind of like when they retire a number in sports. You don't ever wear that number again because it was great.
Yeah, exactly. Connor and I were actually talking recently, and it's not nowhere near the same. Like, Brandon Lee died literally, you know, making this film. Different things. But they remade Roadhouse, and that's a Patrick Swayze movie. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be touched because he's Patrick Swayze. Granted, love Patrick Swayze. And I kind of do feel that way. Like, there are some things, like Dirty Dancing, maybe don't do. I know they did, but it's terrible. But Roadhouse, it's not even a great, great movie. It's one of those movies that really probably should have been left in the 80s, 90s. I'm not
in the vault.
Like, it should have just been left there and he died. Maybe just don't redo it. And I feel like that's The Crow on a different emotional level. But yeah, just leave it alone.
And, you know, things can be good after, and you know, like Heath Ledger as Joker. But the thing is too, like, because I've seen that comparison. I've seen, like, well, you know, we've had great Jokers since Heath Ledger, but it's like, that's like a whole universe.
Exactly.
Though, that will perpetually be made over and over and over again.
And he's still the best Joker.
Yeah. I will say I really liked Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, but they're very different.
I haven't seen that, so that's, I can't judge them, I guess.
What? Oh, it's so good. But it's very different because it's about just the Joker.
Right.
It's not, you know, really Joker v. Batman. There's no Batman in it. So, you know, regardless, I just feel like The Crow was Brandon Lee's movie, and maybe just let it rest and be great and be what it is.
Exactly.
And so, I don't know. I will watch it. I'm going to watch it.
For sure.
But I don't know if I would go as far as saying it feels disrespectful. Because
like
I think you can do things to honor people. But
right.
Like, this is clearly not just being made to honor Brandon Lee and the, I think, like, 1994 movie or whatever. But it's being made, let's not forget, for money.
Right, exactly.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to go down this path again. And, like, I literally have watched, like, five horror movies new ones, I should say. Like during Halloween and stuff, I typically just put them on rotation. Like I watched every single Saw movie again this past year, except I still haven't seen, I even watched up to Spiral, but I haven't seen the new one.
Me either. So
we might have to do that one. Yeah, because the Saw movies are very close to my heart, even though they got a little wild there towards the end. Like, I just rewatched them, and I don't even remember what happens in, like, the last ones. That's how, like, I can remember up till 5. That's about it. But anyways, so if you have any suggestions or you saw anything great over the past couple years, hit us up and let us know. I really want to know what you guys have been enjoying, because I have been so disconnected and so out of touch. But now that especially, like, I've taken a film class, which is really fun because you kind of see things differently.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Fresh eyes. Yeah, and I have, like, fresh eyes on it again, I think. And for you, too, you know, I know you've been watching probably a little bit more than me, but you don't, like you said, you kind of watch things in installments, so you don't even really get to sit right, down and, exactly. like, watch a movie. Mom life, you know.
Right.
So hit us up. Everything is still the same. It's theextrasisters@gmail.com. Facebook and Instagram is The Extra Sisters Podcast. Twitter is @TheExtraSisters. And, like, let us know you're alive. There are a couple of you that I specifically have in my brain that I know your names. I know your faces. I know your accounts. Like, you know, if you're still listening, we'd love to hear from you just to say hey. So especially if you were on our Patreon. What's up, fam? You know, how you doing?
Definitely. Until next time, stay creepy.